Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Today is our special guest day, where we will hear from a friend in the ministry who will share their insight and stories on truth in this chaotic world. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, everybody. This is Guest Thursday, and we have kind of a unique opportunity that we talk, you know, we've been talking, Kathy, about hearing God's voice. Mm-hmm. And the neat thing about hearing God's voice is that sometimes it can be, I have something to say to you right now.
Right.
And so, you know, as we're, Kathy and I are preparing for this, you know, she just heard that, you know, God said the audience would actually like to learn more about you guys and your life and your background and context. And, you know, why don't you share that? And so we're going to do today. I'll do me and then next week probably continue that story. And then we'll follow that with doing the same thing for Kathy. So we are going to be the guest. And it'll be exploring our background. So I'll let Kathy kind of be the interviewer for me. And then in a couple of weeks, I'll be the interviewer for her and give us a chance for everyone to learn a little bit about our background and where we've come to and why we're doing what we're doing. And so we'd love to do it. So, Kathy, I'll kind of just leave it open to you, and then I'll be the one that have to come up with the answers.
Great. God wants us to have. Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited that God laid on our heart to do this, because I do think there's such a beauty to seeing the personal story. And even as you look at the impact that you and Linda have had on so many people's walks, but it all started somewhere.
Yeah.
And so going back and just giving God the credit in the details of how everything started, and particularly for today, just Rich, for those of you who don't know him personally, there's so many stories.
Yeah.
So many stories. Every time I have a conversation with him, I feel like I find out there's something, some new thing that he has done or seen or been a part of that I had no idea. And all of these are things that shape us and that God has woven together with purpose. And so just to take the time today and let the audience get to know you a little better, I'd love to honestly start, and we're starting back way back at the beginning. You know, where were you born? How many siblings? Give us a little bit of who your family was growing up.
Yep. So I was born in Chicago, Illinois. My dad was at the time, he was just finishing his dentistry and oral surgery residency in Chicago. Okay. And I've got two brothers, two sisters. When my older brother was, he had gone to Vietnam and wound up with Agent Orange, so he passed away a few years ago from it. But he did come to know Christ. I had to work with him because he was, you know, part of war and killing. Mm-hmm. He was a big guy. He played football for the University of Iowa. You know, on the varsity. Mm-hmm. And he was good at what he did. And he went to Vietnam as an officer and became a Black Beret.
Wow.
And his role was a professional assassin.
Mm.
So he learned, he would have assignments to, you know, kill people. And, you know, he's my brother, and I know him as my friendly brother, you know. And
right.
When he comes back from the war, he talked a little bit about it. And
is he an older brother, younger brother?
He was older than me.
Okay.
I said, well, how could you do that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I said, I know who you are. You know, that's not you. How could you do that? He said, well, he said, interesting. And remember, this is back in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, well, the government has this new thing called the video game.
Oh, and, isn't that interesting?
They had me for 6 months play video games of killing people.
And so they actually used that to desensitize.
They desensitized, and I said I got used to it.
Wow.
And I kept playing video games, which, by the way, explains a lot to what's going on culturally now with kids that are exposed to this. And he said, so I got used to it. And then, you know, they train you, and then you go over there. He said the first time that they shoot at you, it triggers, everything changes. And now, now I'm going to do it. And he said, I'd be walking with my friends and they get killed. They get killed next to me, you know. And so you just get desensitized to it. And he said, now, one thing, he said, don't surprise me and don't touch me from the back. He says, because I'll probably, my reaction will be, I'll probably kill you.
Yeah, there's a trigger there.
So don't trigger me, you know, be careful. Okay, you know, all right. So we, and I'm in high school. I've got friends, one of which was Linda's brother, and we had a poker game, regular poker game. And my brother says, hey, I'd like to sit in. You know, sure. So that we're in this round table, and he bets. And everybody folds. And when you fold, you know, you put your cards down and then you start collecting the chips. And he puts his cards down and Linda's brother reaches over to say, I want to see your cards. He said, no. He said, you didn't pay to see them. Do not touch those cards. And he kept going and he turns the cards over. And my brother, within a split second, jumps across the table and was going to break his neck. And I'm screaming at him, stop, stop, don't do it. You know, and he didn't, you know, and he said, yeah, he said, I still got some reaction to it, you know. And but he, as we, you know, and we'll talk about this later, but later Linda and I became believers and we witnessed to him. And he basically said, you don't know what I've done. I cannot forgive myself. Sorry. And I go to
school. And can't receive forgiveness either.
I go to scripture and, you know, you talk about Paul who was a murderer, you know, and God can save you, even you. And no, I can't do it, you know. And so he winds up with Agent Orange. And what it happens is that it starts to attack your whole system, but he couldn't walk, you know, so he's kind of bedridden. And so I go visit him. And my prayer was always, you know, Father, just break through. And all I could do is give him scripture. Can't persuade him of anything, but I could give him scripture. So I give him scripture and give him scripture, and give him scripture. And actually about a month or two before he died, I met with him and he said, I understand what you've been showing me. I have forgiven myself, and Christ has forgiven me, and I've received Him as my Lord and Savior. And then, of course, he goes on.
Wow.
Goes on to heaven. You know, so it was quite an amazing thing, and the trauma, you know, that he experienced would because of it and who it was. But that was when I was in high school. But my dad was a surgeon. I grew up starting out in Chicago, and then my dad moved to Valparaiso, Indiana. And he was practicing oral surgery in Illinois. And Valparaiso from his Illinois hospital was probably about 35 minutes.
Okay.
So I grew up in Indiana in the country, and he would drive back and forth to the hospital. And I grew up. I was a natural athlete.
Right. Yeah, I want you to talk about some of this because it always surprises me the number of sports you played and how good you were at some of these different things. So it's fun to hear this and just know a personal side.
A couple things. One is we had a gigantic property in Valparaiso, and we had a baseball field, a basketball court, and a football field.
On
my property.
Home property.
On my home property.
Wow.
My dad, you know, built it and we operated it. And so as a young kid, when I'm like five years old, my brother is 8 or 9 by then, mm-hmm. and he's playing hardball,
right?
Fast pitch hardball. Well, at 5 years old, I just got in there and did it. So at 5 years old, I'm playing fast pitch hardball.
So talk to me, birth order and ages of all of you guys. Are you in the middle then?
So I'm middle. So my older sister is older than my brother, who passed away, is older than me. And then actually it's my younger sister's like 12 or 13, 14 years younger than me. And then my younger brother's even younger than that, you know.
And okay. So you and that brother and the older brother were probably pretty tight.
Yeah.
Did a lot of playing together.
Yeah. And he was an athlete and I was an athlete. And he was just big and capable. I was just naturally good.
Okay.
Early. And so I, you know, played baseball, basketball and football, a quarterback in football. I played guard and basketball, and I was a really good shot. I'm still actually my younger grandson. He's a natural athlete too,
mm-hmm.
and I can still beat him in basketball. Not one on one because he's way faster than me. But but when we shoot, you know, horse or around the world, I'm still got your shot. I'm still
huh?
a really good shot.
That's awesome.
I was a natural athlete and. Because of the we always played at our house,
mm-hmm.
I was always the captain. it's my field, you know, so I get to be the captain. We played
leadership at a young age.
And so then I wind up playing, and I was really, really good at all three of them.
Mm-hmm.
But as I'm getting, you know, into junior high, toward high school, I recognize that. Because of my size, I'm not going to be able to make it. And my thinking was I want to be a professional athlete.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to make it in football because I'm just not going to be big enough.
Right.
I probably am not going to make it in basketball because I'm not tall enough.
Mm-hmm.
But baseball, I can do.
Right.
So
and you loved baseball,
and
too.
And I love baseball. So I switched to concentrating on baseball. My father, we were in Indiana, so winters are awful, but we had this gigantic house, and he built a down in the basement where I could every day go practice pitching.
Oh my goodness.
And I did. And I was a great pitcher, and by the time I'm into high school, I've got a really good fastball. I've got a great curveball. I've got a great slider, and I can even throw a knuckleball.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just really—I could be just super accurate of where I wanted to put the ball, you know. And so I said, I'm going to become a professional baseball player. And I was a great hitter and a great pitcher. And all I did my whole life when I grew up,
mm-hmm.
every single day I did something athletically. That's all I did.
Isn't that funny?
I'd come back from school. We'd play either with the group or I'd go practice, you know. And
now I know, quick question. I mean, I know you're obviously incredibly intelligent and in your college years you go on. In your younger years, did you focus on your studies at all or were you just all about sports or how'd that play out?
I was capable in,
right.
in school, but I didn't ever think about it. It's like I'm not my goal isn't to – you know, be the smartest kid in the class. I just going to make sure I do well.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all about athletics.
But it's all about the sports. Interesting.
Wind up, my dad, mom have a house up in Michigan on a lake.
Mm-hmm. is like a vacation home? Or?
It was a vacation home. And we and they would go up there for the summers.
Right.
And so my summer was I wound up playing – I wound up as a freshman and sophomore in high school playing for a college baseball team.
Oh, wow.
And I'd go play baseball. We lived on a golf course and on a lake. So I'd go play golf and I'd go boating. That was my summer. Yeah, that's how difficult it was.
That sounds like a pretty fun summer.
but I was really good. And so I did that 2 years in a row. And I was undefeated as a pitcher in a college league. And matter of fact, I was selected which I'll tell what happened here, but I was selected to be the starting pitcher for the state all-star game of the college of the college teams. And my I knew that from there I could get drafted.
Right.
And by the time I graduated from high school, I could get drafted. And you get drafted by a major league team, and then they put you in the minors, which is what I can do this. And I'm good enough to do it. And I can, and I'm as good as all these other guys. And
so you weren't even thinking go play college. You were thinking go straight high school to draft.
I'm saying can get drafted. It wouldn't mean that I wouldn't, you know, go to college or take courses, but it's like I can get drafted out of, because I'm already playing with college kids.
Right.
So I can play with these minor leaguers, no problem.
You've got the visibility and stuff,
you know,
too.
And, yeah. I'm good enough, and I had a lot of encouragement to it. So I was selected to be the state starting pitcher for the All-Star game. And we were playing our last game before that. I hit a home run, and I'm rounding third, and I fall down. And I could not get up.
Oh, no.
And I had to crawl to get the run. I had to crawl across home plate to get the run. And they, you know, they you know, take me away, and they, you know, lay me down. And what's wrong? What's wrong? I don't know. I can't walk my hip. My hip, there's something wrong, and I can't put weight on it, and it hurts. And so I laid there for like 30 minutes or so, and then they finally, okay, let's try to get you up. And I got up, and can you walk? Yeah, I can walk. And okay. And my dad, you know, said, well, something's wrong here. So I'm going to take you I'm going to take you back to Illinois. And we're going to go meet this orthopedic surgeon and find out what's going on here, because you got a problem.
Right.
And I'm not going to let it go, so we're going to go. So I, you know, leave and go. And they do at that time they just did X-rays.
Okay.
So they do X-rays, and I'm sitting in the waiting room, and the doctor walks out and says, "Son, your sports days are over."
Wow.
I was like, no, what do you mean? He says, you've got a hip disease. You've had it your whole life. He said, you've had pain in this before, haven't you? Yeah. He said, why didn't you say to something? He said, I just thought it was just soreness. He said, well, you got a problem. You got deformation of your ball and socket joint. So he said that, you know, the ball is big and covered with a bone. He said, your hip is no bigger than your thumb, and it's flat, and you have nothing around it. He said, you're in deep trouble. You're done. And matter of fact, you're on crutches right now for at least a year to 2 years.
Oh my goodness.
I said, no, I'm not. I'm pitching Saturday for the start, you know, state All-Star game. He said, no, you're not. You're done. You'll never play sports again. You can't get there. And, you got to do this, or you're gonna be crippled, you know. And so, that happened, and
no solutions at this point for anything like that.
No, right? They just said that, you know, eventually you can get a new hip, but even at the time, if you got a new hip, you couldn't play sports. So,
right,
just, you know, let live with it and see what you can do with it. So, my sports days were over. My dreams were shattered, I kind of went into a funk.
I can imagine.
Just, you know, woe is me, and, you know, sad and moping around and unhappy.
And your family, just rewinding here, your family, none of them are believers at this point in the game, right?
No, they were.
You were not. You have no background for this.
They were religious. So they would go, you know, they'd be the Easter and Christmas going to church.
Right.
They did send me to confirmation.
Okay.
So I'd been through all that stuff, but none of it mattered to me. It was like, you know,
crushed right here. You have nothing to stand on.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah. And there's no, you know, let's pray about it. Let's, you know. Mm-hmm. So I'm moping around for several months. And by the way, my friends got sick of me because I was so morose, you know. And I was remember this vivacious leading guy, and now I'm just silent and quiet and woe is me.
Dealing with some depression, you know,
and
probably.
And little, you know, high school kids like, yeah, you know, heck with you, you know. And
yeah.
So I got to be kind of lonely. And so I was moping around. And my mom, you know, she said, okay. She observed it. And she says, okay, you and I are going to talk. And she says, enough is enough. You're just in high school. You got your whole life ahead of you. And she said, one thing that you don't appreciate is you're really smart. And okay, you can't play sports, but you still got a lot
more to
you. Got
you.
More to it. And you get into school.
Mm-hmm.
And you learn how to do something and find out what you like doing, and you're going to go to college and you'll do great at college, you know? And so that's it. No more moping around, mm-hmm. get with it. Okay. And then, while that's happening, my dad had a friend, and I used to be golfing and caddying for them. And then he said, "Hey, what happened to you?" And, you know, this hip thing. And so this is on his own. Every Saturday morning, he would come and pick me up. And he said, "You and I are going to spend the day together, and we're going to watch football, and we're going to do things. I'm going to teach you how to tie flies, and you can fish and build boats." Like, okay. So he got me occupied with that. But he would be like,
which is a great distraction.
Great distraction and an encouragement to say, hey, your life is going to be good. Don't worry about it.
There's other things.
So he walked me through that. So he spent time with me all the time. So that's happening. And I got into school and found out that I really loved and was really good at mathematics.
Mm-hmm.
I could really enjoy mathematics. So I'm now, this is now a year or two later. My crutches are gone. I can still walk. I can play golf. So I was back as a senior playing golf with my dad and his friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm into education, and I'm already processing going to college.
Okay.
One of my dad's friends said, "You're really smart, aren't you?" You know, yeah. He said, "You like mathematics, right?" Yep. He said, "Well, there's this there's this new thing called a computer." and he says, "I think my company should get a computer and learn how to do this." Mm-hmm. And he said, "We don't know anything about it, but you're really smart. And so I tell you what, I will send you to IBM for the summer.
Mm-hmm.
You learn about computers, learn how to program them. And then while you're going to college, you work for me and design and implement computer systems for my company." I'm like, "I can do that, you know." And he said, by the way, I'll pay
and
you.
And this interested you too.
Oh yeah, I was like, "Ooh, that sounds fun to me." And he said, "And I'll pay you a lot of money to do it." I said, "I like that particularly." So he sends me to IBM school, learn how to program, here's what happened is that, because of it, I said, "Well, I think then I'll just go into business." So I go to business,
mm-hmm.
Business school in college. But because he needed me to program it, I had to go interview every single person in the company. And I had to draw flow charts. Because remember, and this is hard for all of us to imagine, but it was all manual.
Right.
Everything was manual. So I had to track what happens when you go from here to here to here to here to here. And all the decisions that are made for that. And I learned how business operated because I had to interview everybody to understand how business operated.
Oh, that's interesting.
And I learned how business functions at the very, finance, operations, marketing, sales. I learned it all. And I didn't even know I was learning it, you know, but I learned it all. And so I'm going to school and he pays me for the whole time. When I was a senior in high school, my dad moved us back to Illinois because he said, I'm kind of tired of doing the commuting. And I wind up at this school in Illinois. And that's where I met Linda.
Oh, wow. This is your senior year in high school, you said.
Yeah, I got moved at the end of my junior year.
Okay.
I'm in this new spot and I meet Linda. And I knew Linda, but I knew her brother.
Right.
Because he was an athlete and I was an athlete. And so we got to be friends. And then he comes and says, you know, my sister Linda wants me to ask you to have her go to prom with you or go to homecoming with you. I said, well, why would she want to go with me? Because she's dating with that guy. She said, he said, what guy? I said, the guy that she's always with, you know, in the hallway. He says, that's my brother. That's not,
oh, that's a riot.
That's my brother. She's not dating anybody, you know. And so, okay, all right. So I said, okay, yeah, because I liked Linda and I already knew Linda, mm-hmm. but I thought she was dating somebody else. So I said, go to Linda that night and said, hey, Linda, you want to go to prom and or homecoming? She says, no.
Oh, no.
She said, I already accepted somebody else, you know, I'm so sorry. And, you know, hey, I tell you what, you know, after homecoming, you want to go dating? And we start dating and, you know, fell in love with each other. And as I'm going to college, now she's still in high school.
And at this point, still neither of you are believers, right?
Not believers.
Okay.
Her dad was a pastor, but again, it was religion, not the mm-hmm. receiving Jesus
right.
Stuff in the Bible and prayer and all that. So we go to college and I go through school, graduate, get married as a junior. She's a freshman, mm-hmm. I'm a junior. Finishing up at this company, doing all the work for them, getting paid a lot. And I said, well, I want to go get my MBA mm-hmm. in California, or I want to get my MBA because at that point you just went from undergraduate to graduate school. And then, you know, I said, hey, I want to be
right.
a senior executive. So I want to get my MBA. And so I graduated early, 3.5 years. Mm-hmm. And I'm now in the middle of the year, and I wanted to go to the Ivy League school like Harvard, but they don't let you in until September. So mm-hmm. I said, well, I don't want to wait then.
Right.
Where can I go? And the Pac-12, Pac-10 at that time schools, USC, they'll let you come in January. Great. Mm-hmm. You know, and so we're in Illinois. Warm weather sounds great to us. So we literally
married for how long at this point?
We've been married now just 6 months.
Okay.
Hey, let's get in the car and go to USC, and I get accepted and I go out there and start school in my MBA. And I'm still working for this guy, so I'm getting paid plenty of money, and mm-hmm. I can do it part time because I'm doing it when I can. She winds up working for a big department that put on parties for celebrities. So we got to
oh,
go
that's
to,
right up her alley, too.
We got to go to Hollywood parties and meet all the actors and all that stuff because she's organizing it all, you know.
Right.
And so we had a great time. And so start January, February, into March, and Linda says, I'm not feeling great. and, well, you know, I wonder why, you know, and, you know, go on another month, another week or two, and just not feeling great, you know. And I said, okay, well, let's go to the doctor and find out. So we go to the doctor, and she comes out. She says, well, I know I'm not feeling great. she says, I'm pregnant. Oh,
wow.
Great, cool. You know, when? She says, well, actually, I'm already 4 months pregnant. And, she kept having her period, which had no idea and had no thought. That's why we didn't think about it, you know. And she says, I'm going to have the baby in 5 months.
Wow.
And this is now, you know, March. And
you guys are still pretty young at this point, too.
I'm 20. She's 18 years old.
Wow.
Now, back then, it wasn't like, okay, I'm going to have the baby and go back to work.
Mm-hmm.
It's that I got to get to work.
Right.
And so get going, and I'm going to have to leave school because I'm in a, you know, basically a 2-year program at MBA. I can't finish. I'm going to have to quit and get mm-hmm. to work, you know. And so I was thinking about it and processing it, and it's like, man, I really want to graduate. I really want to do it, get my degree. So I came up with this harebrained idea that I go to the dean of USC Business School,
mm-hmm.
and I said, here's what happened. I still want to graduate. Would you allow me to take the final exam of all the courses,
mm-hmm.
Even though I never attend class?
Wow.
And he looked at me like,
can't do it.
There's no way you can do that. You can't do that. And boy, I don't know. And he's thinking about it, and he says, I tell you what. Business is about risk and reward. I'll let you do it. You have to pay full tuition for the entire, all the mm-hmm. classes. And if you don't make it, you don't make it.
Right.
He says, quite frankly, I don't think you're going to do it.
But the risk is on you.
But it's on you if you want to do it. I'll allow you to do it. And we'll work through the courses. I'll tell the professors. And you get their syllabus. You get the books. Find out whatever you want to find out about them. And good luck, but I doubt it, and okay.
And so this is long before the days of remote learning or anything like that, right?
Yeah.
You were creating your own.
and I had already, because of the giftedness of God had given me as a speed reader, the way I operated in college is I read all the books the first week anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just spent the rest of the time going to class and taking tests.
Right.
So I just got all the books. Read them all, took notes, I sat for the final exams. I sat in May, and then they had another summer session that ended in July, which is when our baby was born, and I took those.
Yeah. Did you have any professors that were salty that you could pull that off?
Well, in terms of you're a fool and that kind of stuff?
Yeah. No, like that they were a little, because there's a certain level of pride as a professor that they need you.
Well,
somebody needs you to teach. And so were they a little, did anybody get a little salty?
Yeah,
I can't believe he's pulling this off,
and they didn't want to help me at all, And
right.
So, but I did. And so I take the finals and I wound up with a 4.0, graduating at the first of my class.
Mm-hmm.
And I finished my last one and the dean sends me a note. Hey, you got to come and see me, So mm-hmm. I do. And he said, I can't believe you did this.
Right. Right.
He said, I cannot allow anybody to know that you did this. Cause I don't want this to become the way people function, and I,
right.
you're lucky, and, So I'm not going to let you graduate.
Wow.
You're going to have to wait a year for you to walk the thing. I'll give you a diploma, but that's just me and you. And you can't tell anybody and you can't share anybody other than, you can obviously go get a job and tell them you graduated. But I'm not going to let you walk and get your degree, And okay.
Wow.
But I didn't care, so what?
As long as you could get employed, you were happy, right?
So then my test was a day before our baby was born, and we have our baby, and I actually got a job, right away, and it was, try to process that with them, and so it was great, and we got our first job, and because she was a pastor's kid and I had religious background, she said, I think it would be good to go to church. And we have a baby now.
Okay. We should probably pause the story there, right?
Yep.
And let's pick up at this point next week and continue on the story, because I want to get into the story now of how you and Linda did actually come to faith. There's so many things that you've already said that I love just seeing the groundwork of things that God put in place leading up to this.
Yep.
That are all part of how he drew you in as well.
Yep, it'd be good. Yep. So thank you, Father, for I do remember just the process of you bringing us together and Linda and I and coming to know you and the life we've had because of it. And so I do praise you for that in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for sharing. It's so fun just to hear all the details of your background, and can't wait to hear next week as you continue to share, and then really how your faith journey launches from this point forward. So looking forward to that. Thank you for joining us, everyone. If you have any questions, send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com, and we look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep. See you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments, and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.